Let's pray together. May the grace of the living God be upon us, work in us, and be seen through us. May the word of God that has been read move us in a way that allows us to be in the lion's den and feel the presence of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Roughly 10 years ago, I did a funeral for a man named Jack Little. Jack was a Marine, was a dear friend of mine. He was at the Jones Church. And I did a sermon where I read the entire text of the Lion's Den, from the beginning to what you heard me read this morning. And I read it and did the sermon and finished the sermon and talked about Daniel and the fact that he was thrown in the lion's den because he refused to give up his faith in God. He would not worship the king. He would not bow before the king. He would not in any way give up that faith place that he had in God and for God. And so he prayed the way he was supposed to pray, even though he knew there were spies in the land watching him pray at a certain time when he shouldn't be praying to a God he shouldn't be praying to. Well, he came up to me afterwards, and you had to know Jack. Jack was one of the most humble people I've ever met. He was kind. He was courteous. And he loved to wear hats with long wigs on them because he was bald as a cucumber, and he would wear them during Halloween or when we had special events. And the kids just absolutely adored Jack. And I didn't know that he was a Marine until about 4 weeks before he died, which is when he came up and talked to me about this sermon. I knew he was dying. And I'd asked in my sermon, I just wonder what it's like to have lions gathered around me, knowing that with all rights, I should die with those lions there. And he came up to me that day and said, well, I can tell you what it's like. He said, it's not with lions, but he went on to describe, and I won't do all this, but he went on to describe a time when he was in the North Korean War. He used to say they called it a police action. He said, when bullets are flying over your head and they're trying to kill you, that's a war. And you can do whatever you want to do with that. And I never argued with him about that because he was right. He said, when you're trapped in sub-zero weather and people are dying, and you take in X number of people, and I don't remember the number of people we had, and we only bring about a tenth of them out before we're able to get out of that place and back to our lines, and we spend a winter there in that weather, and you watch people die, and you see how things are happening and how they're collapsing on you, and all you can do is pray and pray that the angels of God and God's presence there for you as you go through that time. It's like being in a lion's den, knowing you have no hope to come through this. And I asked him, I said, well, Jack, how can you be this fun-loving, carefree, wonderful person that you are, having been through that? Because I don't have any experience of that. I can't explain what he said to me. He could explain it to you. I just give you my version very shortly of that. And he said, I left there realizing just how precious life is and how gracious God is even in death and in life. And I said, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to stop being the grumpy old man I used to be, where everybody had to be perfect and everything had to be right. I'm going to be this person that God created me, and I'm going to love everybody. And, you know, I spent 4 years with a man And he died towards the end of my time at Jones. And I never heard him do anything but that. And he would say to me, you gotta love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And so the king in this story sets a decree that he's above everybody else. And that you're gonna pray to him. And that you're gonna worship him. And that he's going to be the center of all things. And that he's going to be the one that everybody turns to. And if you don't do that, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. Now you think about the text of Daniel. First the fiery furnace, now there's a lion's den. All about worshiping a king. I guess every time there was a new king, they had to set a decree. And one of the guys had to have some way to show them that they had to act right. In this case, the new king has the decree. And when they get done, I want you to hear this. And I've said this again in an earlier sermon in Daniel, but I really want to hear this carefully. When he says, I make a decree that all my royal dominion people should tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall have no end. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? That's the God you serve. That's the God you worship. That's the God we sing to. That's the God we praise. That's the God you're here for this morning through Jesus Christ. That's the God that has no end to his kingdom, and his dominion shall never end. So no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad you think it is, God's kingdom, God's place, God's rule will never, ever come to an end. And that's the person, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, that's who you worship. The never-ending God. Now, if that doesn't get your blood boiling and your life excited and you're happy about who you are and whose you are, I don't know what will. I don't know how you can. See, I've never figured out. That's why I'll never make a parishioner. I know one of these days I'm going to have to retire. And Marilyn's going to sit on my leg, I guess, and put a chain around my hand so I don't disrupt the preacher when the preacher's preaching. Because I just don't know how we sit there and just don't get excited about this. I don't know how we don't worship God this way, because God is in this room, in our souls, giving us hope and strength through everything, no matter what it is. And that is who we worship. He is the one that we worship. This morning, we have a group that's going to sing for us. Y'all didn't think I could do a 9-minute sermon, did you? Come on, admit it. Amen. That's one for David. 9-minute sermon. But I did. I got up here with 9 minutes to give y'all 25 minutes. They said, that's pretty good, isn't it? Could your preacher do 9 minutes? I didn't think so. Let me just think about it. I asked him how I was supposed to introduce him. Lakeside, and he said, well, just tell them we're kind of from East Tennessee and I'll do the rest. So they're kind of from East Tennessee. They're going to do the rest. Well, that's what he said, it's kind of. And he's going to explain that. And so now, you know, you've learned from now that we take an offering at the end of service. There's people with little 50-pound baskets in the back. How big are those things you got back there, Gordon? They're just little baskets, aren't they? But we can get 50-pound ones, can't we, if we need them. And we're going to take an offering for them being here. There's also CDs and things back there for that. But there's also something, and I think you'll agree with me on this, there's something a little bit more important. There's going to be an invitation to the altar at the end of this. If you're led to come pray as they lead you. So I'm going to invite y'all to come sing. Sing as if Daniel was in the room and God was present. Amen? Because both cases, God is here. Amen.